Now we're going to read together from two passages of Scripture, from John's Gospel and then from the book of Matthew. So let's read from John's Gospel, chapter 20, and we read from verse 10 of John's Gospel, chapter 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then let's go over to Matthew's Gospel and to chapter 28 of Matthew's Gospel. And verse 1 of chapter 28 says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" He is not here. He is risen. What great words those are. I don't know if you know the painting, The Graveyard of the World. In this particular painting, there are tombs of some of the world leaders. And above one of the tombs, it says, "Here lies the body of Confucius." And above another of the tombs, "Here lies the body of Buddha." And above another of the tombs, "Here lies the body of Muhammad." But in the middle of that picture, there is another tomb. And this tomb, unlike the others, is an empty tomb. And it says in shining letters above this tomb, "He is not here. He is risen." That is what marks Christianity out, one of the things that marks Christianity out as different from all the other world religions. He is not here. He is risen. And this morning we want to get that into our minds and to think again of this great truth of the resurrection. It had been a terrible weekend. Jesus had endured so much, and then crucifixion at Calvary. The mocking, the jeering, the scoffing, the crowd watching on, the awful pain, the burden of sin laid on him. Those hours of darkness when the penalty for sin was his and the wrath of God poured out on his only son. For those who must have stood there, it must have been so awful to watch. And then those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God had forsaken his son. For those who stood there, the one whom they loved was dead. Things would never be the same again. But here in Matthew's Gospel and John's Gospel, it was the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb and found the tomb empty and the body of Jesus gone. And I'd like us this morning to come again and to go again to that tomb and to spend some time just reflecting again, pondering over what we see and over what we hear. There are four things I want to mention this morning. And the first is this, that there were tears at the tomb. Tears were wept at the tomb. In John's Gospel, that is highlighted for us. The disciples go back to their homes, but Mary stands at the tomb crying. And the word that is used for crying there is a word that really means deep, intense, audible grief. She was weeping aloud. You could hear her weeping, is what the word means. This lady, Mary Magdalene, what do we know about her? Well, in Luke's Gospel, it reminds us that she was one from whom seven demons had come out. And Jesus had brought that rescue to her. Don't you think she loved him? Oh, of course she loved him, because of what he had done for her. Seven demons, not one, but seven demons gone. Can you imagine what it must have been to have had that experience? And here she is now. The one whom she loved was dead. Her grief was intense. The one who had done great things was no longer alive. But there's another reason, I think, in these verses why she's crying. Verse 13, she's asked, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. The body is no longer there." And that causes her immense grief again and immense pain. She's distraught, losing the one who meant everything to her, and now the body taken just compounded her grief. Not just inward crying, but outward crying, intense grief this woman felt. Jesus takes up the question, "Why are you crying? What are you looking for?" And there he's standing beside Mary, but she doesn't realize it's Jesus. She thinks he's the gardener, and she asks that he might tell her where he has put him, and she'll get him. And Jesus says to her one word, "Mary." And she replies, "Rabboni, Master," for she recognizes Jesus. She needed to hear him speak. She needed to hear her name amidst all the tears, amidst all the confusion. How lovely. The one whose body she'd been looking for there was standing beside her and speaking her name. And how lovely it is when sorrow or trouble comes to your life or mine, he stands beside. Doesn't leave us, doesn't forsake us, but stands beside and speaks your name. When the circumstances of life threaten to overwhelm, he promises to be there, and he speaks your name. This week, the husband of a very good friend of Ella's went to be with the Lord. And for that family, who this week have suffered unexpected grief, there is one who stands beside. In days of great sorrow and days of great sadness, the risen Lord is there for them. And I don't know about your life today. Maybe you've been through a very difficult time. Maybe there's been sorrow and sadness has come to your life. Maybe there's been trials that have come your way that are beyond words, and you've been maybe overwhelmed with the circumstances that you're going through. He stands beside, and he speaks your name. And I'd like us to get hold of that today, because it's a great truth. When difficult times come, when problems assail, he stands beside and he speaks your name. That's the risen Lord Jesus. That's what the resurrection, one of the things that the resurrection means for us, isn't that? That he doesn't leave us, but he stands beside and he speaks our name. That's the first thing. Tears were wept at the tomb. But the second thing is this fear was felt at the tomb. Here the angels were involved. Angels were involved in the first coming of Jesus, weren't they? And here they're involved again at the resurrection. And they will be involved in the second coming of Jesus as well. There's a massive earthquake, a violent earthquake, it says in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28. An angel of the Lord has come down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolls back the stone and sits on it. I've never experienced an earthquake. I don't know if you have, but I'd never want to. It must be a most frightening thing. But here is this earthquake. And not just the earthquake, but there's this angel. I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I have never seen an angel apart from Ella, who's my angel, but never seen an angel. But can you imagine what it must have been to have seen this angel? What does it say about the angel? Well, it says his appearance was like lightning. Can you imagine that? Lightning. And his clothes were white as snow. And he made such an impact that the guards who were there, they trembled, they shook, and they became like dead men. That was a really frightening experience, wasn't it? Not just the earthquake, but actually seeing this angel with the lightning and with the clothes as white as snow. And they're shaking with fear because of what they see. So afraid of him. The women were fearful as well, because the angel says to the women in verse 5, do not be afraid. And why did the angel say don't be afraid? Because they were afraid. They were afraid of what was happening. And in verse 8 later on it says, when they left the scene, they were afraid yet filled with joy. I think you'd have been afraid had you been there. I think I would have been afraid. Not just with the earthquake, but with seeing this angel there as well. Maybe it is today that there's something in your life that is causing you fear, causing you to be afraid. Maybe there's something about health or money or finances or about relationships. Maybe something in your family or something personal to you that brings fear and causes you to be afraid. Why are the women not to be afraid? For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. There's a risen Lord. There's a risen Lord who is there for you in your times of fear, in my times of fear. And what does Jesus say? Well, in verse 9, he says, greetings. The word really means rejoice as well as greetings. Has that idea of rejoicing. Don't be afraid. And maybe you just need to hear that today. Don't be afraid. I've told some of you before of going to the Cliffs of Moher. We were on holidays and we decided to go to the Aran Islands. I'd read about the Aran Islands at GCE, whatever it was, back in my day, J.M. Singh, the Aran Islands, decided we would like to go there. So we went to get this boat and the girl in the office said, you can go to the Aran Islands, but also before you go to the Aran Islands is a boat trip to the Cliffs of Moher. You can have both. Special deal on today. So we thought we'd go for the special deal and got onto this boat and out to the Cliffs of Moher. First of all, I don't think I've ever been tossed around in a boat like I was that afternoon. It was frightening beyond words. Ella wasn't so bad, but I was frightened. And this boat bouncing up and down in these waves. didn't really enjoy the Cliffs of Moher that afternoon, but we came back anyway and went back to the office and said to the girl, look, do you see that second trip you were talking about with a special deal? Count us out. Count us out. Fear. I there was one thing I hadn't got hold of that day, and as I thought about it since, there was a guy who was steering that boat, and he had been out on that water so many times. And if I'd only could have got hold of that truth, that he was in control of it all, and would take us back safely to land again. But I couldn't. I looked at the wind and the waves and fearful. Easy to do that, isn't it, in life? To look at the wind and the waves and the troubles that come. But we need to look at him. Look to him. The one who comes alongside and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The risen Lord was there that day with Mary Magdalene. And he had to say, don't be afraid. Maybe you just need to hear that today again. So tears were wept at the tomb, and fear was felt at the tomb. Here's the third thing. Joy was experienced at the tomb. Matthew 28 verse 8 says, so the woman hurried away from the tomb afraid, yet filled with, what's the next word? Filled with joy. Filled with joy. They hurried, in verse 8, they ran. And the word really means, the word run is like an athlete competing in the ancient games, running with all their energy, with full effort, an intense desire to get to where they wanted to go and to bring the news to others. And it says they were filled with joy. The word really means great joy. They had great joy. The word in the original is mega. And you know the word mega store, don't you? Big store. Big store. Big whatever. Here is mega joy that these women have. And it reminded me back in the birth of Jesus, because fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of, next bit, great joy. Mega joy. It's exactly the same word as used there. And do you remember the Magi at the birth as well? The wise men, they rejoiced with exceeding. And it's mega joy. Same word. But here is this mega joy that these women had. Why did they have mega joy? Because of what they'd experienced. Because of two things. The first thing is what they saw. What did they see? They saw an empty tomb. And that brought joy. There was nobody there. But then what did they hear? Well, what did they hear? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead, it says in verse 7. And those two things, what they saw and what they heard, brought mega joy to these people on that day. And on this Easter day, look into the tomb. No one there. The body is not there. Listen again to what was said to those women. He is not here. He is risen. And what should those two things do for us this morning? Mega joy. Because of the one who is risen indeed. Rejoice is what Jesus says to them in verse 9. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. The word means as well. Rejoice, says to them, rejoice. And I want us this morning as Christian people, let's rejoice today. Let's rejoice that he's not here, he's risen. The tomb is empty. Great reason for rejoicing. And we'll come on to that in a moment. We used to sing many years ago, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Do you remember that, some of you older folk? My vintage? Maybe some of the younger folk as well. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Jesus is risen from the dead. I can remember when I was converted at university and walking from Stranmillis to Queen's in the morning, and everything was new from being someone who went along to church out of routine, out of ritual. I had met the risen Lord who had forgiven me. and had taken away all the wrong that I had done, the wrong that I had thought, the wrong that I had said, the wrong that I had done, had forgiven all those things. And Jesus was real, not just a figure of history, but real. And I can remember walking from Strandmillis to Queen's singing. Do you ever do that? I think sometimes maybe we need to get back to that again. Just singing because of a risen Lord who was there for me. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Jesus is risen from the dead was one of the songs that I'd sung. I wonder what brings you joy in life. Both a lot of things. I can remember getting a bicycle for Christmas that brought me great joy. I can remember playing the organ for the first time in a church one Sunday evening and couldn't sleep that night because I was so excited with the sound that this instrument made and so wonderful. Doing music at Queen's brought me great joy. But meeting the risen Lord at Queen's brought me great joy. Great joy. And this morning, rejoice again. I say to you, rejoice again because of the one who brings great joy. So tears were wept at the tomb. Fear was felt at the tomb. Joy was experienced at the tomb. And here's the last thing for today. Death was defeated at the tomb. Verse 6 says, he is not here. He is risen. The stone was rolled away. The angel of the Lord, verse 2 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Angel of the Lord comes down and going to the tomb, rolls back the stone. What had happened? God had raised him from the dead. Have you got that? God raised him from the dead. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1. That power is like the working of his mighty strength when he raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. God was at work that first Easter morning. That the tomb was empty was God's doing. God's power had raised Christ from the dead. You want to understand the power of God? Look at the resurrection. It speaks to us of God's great power. God had raised him from the dead. God's mighty power displayed. And you know, here's the truth of it all. For you and for me, because of his resurrection, we too will experience resurrection if we're trusting in him. Because he was raised, we too will be raised from the dead. Peter Cooper last Sunday morning took us to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to take you there just for a few moments this morning. Just listen to this. Here is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks about this new body, and I've put on the screen some of the words that it mentions about this new body that is going to be resurrected. A body characterized by splendor. Think about that. Your body, if you're one day, your body is going to be changed, and it's going to be characterized by splendor. And then secondly, it's a body that's going to be characterized by glory. In verse 43 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, it is raised in glory. Think about that. It is raised in glory. And then a word that they haven't up there, it's going to be characterized by power. In verse 43, it says, this body is raised in power. And then in verse 43 as well, it says it's going to be a body characterized by being spiritual instead of natural. Not sure what that means, but it's going to be different, a different body. So here's a body characterized by splendor, a new body characterized by splendor, characterized by glory, characterized by power, and it's going to be a spiritual body. You got that? And then there's more. This body, instead of being perishable, is going to be imperishable. There's a day when this body is going to be changed and no longer will it perish, but it will be imperishable. It will never perish again. And then it's going to be a body, instead of being mortal, it's going to be immortal. One day, death will come to this body. But there will come a day when things will be changed and the body will be changed and death will no longer impact this body. So it's going to be imperishable, it's going to be immortal. And then it says we will bear the likeness of the man from heaven. This body is going to bear the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Think about that. And it says in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15, we will be changed. And verse 52, it says, we will be changed. Do you see what's ahead of you? What's ahead of me? This glorious new body. And it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Like that. Will happen for you and will happen for me. Now, this body that you see in front of you is going to wear out. And a bad news for you, yours is going to wear out one day as well. But the great news is your body will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. A body characterized by splendor and glory and power, a spiritual body, imperishable, immortal, bearing the likeness of the man from heaven, and you will be changed and I will be changed. And the last enemy, death, will be no more and will be with the Lord forever. That's where this resurrection takes us, to a glorious day when we will be with him forevermore, in a new heaven and a new earth forevermore. The wonder of the resurrection is that death has been conquered. And for all who trust in the Lord Jesus, there's a glorious future. We sang at the very beginning that, "See what a morning." Do you know my favourite line in that? Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered, and we will reign with him. Christ is risen from the dead. Isn't that tremendous? Listen to it again. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. And we will reign with him. Christ is risen from the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. What's the next word? Hallelujah. Christ arose. What a victory he won at Calvary. What a victory he won on that first day when he was raised from the dead and conquered death. So tears were wept at the tomb. Fear was felt at the tomb. Joy was experienced at the tomb. But praise God, death was conquered at the tomb. To him be the glory because of what he did. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Finish it for me. Endless is the victory thou o'er death has won. Let's stand together and sing this, and then it'll be the opportunity to leave just in a moment after we have a prayer, if you need to do that, and then we'll meet round the Lord's table. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son.